Evo nas, 11. jula 1995. godine u Srpskoj Srebrenici.
It's the 11th of July 1995. General Ratko Mladić announces that his forces have liberated Srebrenica and that it's now time to take revenge against the Muslims. At the time, Mladić was commander of the Bosnian Serb army, and Srebrenica, a small town on the border with Serbia, was designated a so-called safe area under the protection of the United Nations. But the area was anything but safe. After years of bloody war in ex-Yugoslavia, Srebrenica was a powder keg, populated by both Bosnian Serbs and Muslims. However, the United Nations deployed only about 600 Dutch peacekeepers, wearing blue helmets and armed with light weapons to protect the town. Abel Dijkman was one of the soldiers sent to the site, which would become a wound in the heart of Europe.
We had just formed a new parachute brigade. It was actually a new toy for the army. Our defense minister decided to send 3 battalions of that brigade to Bosnia. From the beginning, we knew this cannot work.
The Dutch oefenvijand verdedigt het dorp Marnehuizen tegen een aanval van het 12e bataljon.
And indeed, this token force could only observe as a series of massacres unfolded in the surrounding villages. Serbian militias slaughtering innocent Muslims and Muslim forces slaughtering innocent Serbs. About 10,000 Serb soldiers and mercenaries supported by heavy artillery and armored vehicles captured Srebrenica within a few days. The Dutch soldiers didn't fire a single shot and NATO combat planes did not receive any order to intervene. Under siege, Bosnian Muslim soldiers chose not to surrender, but to break through the enemy lines. Thousands of civilians joined them, only one-third of them made it. Salko Nukić was one of the Bosnian soldiers.
Ono što sam ja najteže preživio, na svaku metru sam mogao vidjeti mrtve ljude.
For me, the worst part was seeing the massacred bodies along the road. There was one forest with more corpses than trees. Wounded people everywhere, screaming, begging for help. Nobody could help them.
Back in Srebrenica, General Mladić meets the commander of the Dutch unit.
Imate moju reč. Kao čovjeka I generala.
Mladić smokes, talking slowly, allowing the translators to do their job, and gives his word, as a man and as a general, that he is going to spare the lives of all civilians. But just a few hours later, Serbian fighters separate Muslim men and boys from the women and the elderly. The stage is being set for the worst crime committed on European soil since World War II. Officially, 8,000 Muslims were executed and 30,000 women, children and elderly were expelled from the enclave. Many women were first raped. Mass graves are being found to this day, and each year, dozens of bodies are buried at Srebrenica's cemetery on the anniversary of the killings. The International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia recognized the massacre and the intent of ethnic cleansing as genocide, the only crime of that kind in the Yugoslav wars. In a separate ruling, Serbia as a state was found not guilty of supporting the Bosnian Serb army. Yet another court decision blamed the Netherlands for not preventing the genocide. But former Dutch soldier Dijkman thinks that the real culprits were never prosecuted.
I still think that the United Nations are the only ones to blame. The UN, that's France, Germany, Britain, America.
One of the most prominent politicians at the time was Germany's foreign minister, Klaus Kinkel. 20 years on, the 78-year-old lawyer reflects on the question of responsibility for the massacre.
In my eyes, the UNO versagt.
In my eyes, the UN failed in Srebrenica. NATO failed, Europeans failed, I failed. But at that time, as Mladic was organizing and committing the genocide, we didn't know exactly what was happening there. Today, it's hard to understand why the international community was unable to prevent this terrible slaughter.
Europe's most wanted man, the former Bosnian Serb military commander, General Ratko Mladic, is under arrest.
It was not until 2011 that Mladic was arrested. He was hiding in northern Serbia under a false identity. The arrest came after massive political pressure was put on the Serbian government. That pressure by the international community led to massive and sometimes violent demonstrations across Serbia, organized by nationalists who consider Mladic a hero. One of Mladic's staunchest supporters is today Prime Minister of Serbia, Aleksandar Vučić. Over the years, he's changed his rhetoric and politics, and Vučić is now a supporter of the European Union. His change of tune reflects a wider revision of the Srebrenica narrative in Serbia, at least mainstream opinion, as journalist Filip Švarm explains.
Today, nobody denies the crime, but there's still a problem. Most people don't accept the term genocide and instead use terms like massacre or terrible war crime. But that's not surprising given the fact that no official in Serbia has ever used the word genocide in relation to Srebrenica.
On the streets of Belgrade, many believe that the genocide label is just another way for the international community to blame the Serbs for the whole war. On the other hand, a frequent complaint is that crimes against Serbs are not being tried at the International Criminal Court. I meet Vladimir Tabašević, a young writer and blogger who used to be a football hooligan and nationalist himself, but he had the luxury of education, he says, so today he thinks he knows better.
Every time you mention Srebrenica, people start talking about Serbs being bombed in 1999 or slaughtered in World War II. But generally speaking, this sort of false nationalistic antagonism is encouraged by the political class across the Balkans. It's always been used as a ploy by politicians to avoid addressing the social and economic issues in these poor countries.
Today, scared by the past, Srebrenica does not seem poised for a bright future. The municipality only has around 15,000 residents. Many Muslims who survived the events of 1995 came back after the war, most of them still mourning husbands, fathers, brothers and sons. But there are some who live in harmony with their Serbian neighbors. Šačir Halilović was the last Muslim to leave Srebrenica and the first one to come back only 5 years later. Back then he told DW,
I'm 86 years old and I've lived peacefully with good people of every nation for my entire life. Serbs are visiting me today and I thank them for that. I love them and pray to God that he helps them.
Halilović died a decade ago, but there are many who walk down his path. Around 20 women, both Serbian and Muslim, have been meeting once a week for years now, drinking coffee and knitting, and talking, of course, also about the past.
We never had a quarrel on national issues or anything else. The politicians should learn from people like us.
I lost my son 20 years ago. Not a single bone has ever been found. If only I knew who did that to him. But who should I blame? Nobody here is to blame.
This year, on the 20th anniversary of the genocide, 136 victims identified over the past year will be buried in the cemetery outside Srebrenica. That leaves around 1,200 still missing. The forests around Srebrenica killing fields will have to yield their remains before the past is laid to rest. Nemanja Rujević, DW.